Hello there, fellow peregrinos. Welcome to El Camino de Santiago Pilgrims Podcast, where we talk about planning, packing, and doing all kinds of things to get ready for walking the way to Santiago. In this episode, a very sad episode, because it's going to be my last episode for a good while, possibly forever, hosting the podcast, because for reasons you'll hear during this interview, I am going to have to switch my attentions to other more important tasks revolving around surviving. But it is with great pleasure that I introduce you to the new host of the podcast, and I'd like you all to brace yourselves for a very authentic Texan accent. Andrew Baker, welcome back to the podcast.
Good morning, Pilgrim. Or should I say good afternoon?
I thought you were going to say howdy or something like that because you're from Texas.
I should have.
Is that what you normally say, or is that just a really painful stereotype I've said there?
No, but for the podcast, I can play up to the stereotypes.
Can you say what you'd normally say if you were walking down the street in Texas and you saw someone you knew or didn't know?
Well, I would definitely say, howdy, partner. howdy, ma'am.
And whilst getting off of your horse.
Absolutely.
Okay, so that's the painful stereotype there, and I apologize for that. But just where I'm from in England, people often make fun of me, so we just have to be a friendly banter to start with. So, Andrew, we had you back on the podcast last year, and we were treated to so many things. And the one thing that stood out from your podcast for me was your trick and your tip about using a solar charger to charge your devices along the way, which I felt was genius. You were episode 43 back on the 28th of May, and also your singing as well at the end, which my ears are still bleeding. No, I mean, so your singing was great, and you sang Don't Stop Believing, I think, something like that. So we have perhaps the second most important transfer of power going on right now in the world. Or perhaps the most important, who cares about what else is happening? This is, you are going to be the new host of the podcast. So what made you think, what made you contact me and say, I'd love to take over? And, you know, what's your experience as a podcaster, broadcaster, host, etc.?
Well, first off, let me say I am absolutely honored. There's a few things in my life that carry the weight or I have the respect or the reverence for, like the Camino de Santiago. And in being able to share our love, our experiences, our knowledge regarding the Camino is something that is probably the most important thing to me. As far as outside of family, work life, it's definitely a passion. I for those who may not have listened to the episode, my background is in broadcasting. I was a sports radio broadcaster for the longest time. And I actually have an interesting story about this. So you posted your first podcast July 25th, 2019. Do you remember who it was with?
Yes, I do. It was with a lovely lady, a lady that I walked the Camino with, and Tierra St. Clair.
So that day, I was actually on Camino. And it was day eight. I was walking from Logroño to Najera. I had walked about 31 and a half kilometers that day. It was over 100 degrees Fahrenheit. I guess that's in the high 30s in Celsius. Is that correct?
Correct.
And that night, I actually called back to Austin and did a radio interview with the station I worked with, ESPN Central Texas.
Right.
And I went back before we got into this interview, and I listened to it. And who would have thought, well over a year later, that I would be making the request to take over the reins for you? And hopefully those broadcasting chops, those podcasting skills that I acquired in my professional broadcasting days will help contribute to this endeavor that I'm taking on. And hopefully we'll be able to continue the spirit of this podcast that has been such a joy for so many for so long.
Well, I think your interview last time, kind of when you contacted me, it definitely made you think that you were the perfect fit because you were fun You were also very, very candid and honest. And I felt at times you were very, you made yourself very vulnerable as well with some of the things you said, you know, about the reasons why you walked out at the time. And I think that's something that all pilgrims can really, really relate to, because I think we all tend to go off and soul search on the Camino, and you've done a bit of that. So I think you understand a pilgrim's mindset. You understand the Camino's ethos and the spirit. And that's why I think you're a perfect fit. And also you're a great singer as well. And I've been known to make a penny singing a little bit. So so I think you'll be the greatest fit. And when you were on ESPN, what exactly did you do?
So I started off as a producer there, and that role kind of evolved into being a host. I was an afternoon drive host for a daily show from 3 to 7 p.m. Here in Texas. Mainly talked a lot of American football, basketball, baseball, all your stereotypical American sports. Unfortunately for our international listeners, those abroad, there wasn't as much football as you would call it, but it was a great time. It was a blast. It's basically just having guy talk every day for 4 hours a day.
Did you interview anyone famous?
Oh, absolutely.
Who's the most famous person you interviewed?
Oh, wow. As far as sports figures, a lot of Texan icons, a lot of former Dallas Cowboys, Troy Aikman's, Michael Irvin's. Did those names ring a bell to you at all?
They don't, to be honest with you, because I'm not so familiar. No. I'm really, really sorry. I'm really, really, really sorry if I've disrespected any of those names. But I don't follow American sports very much, if I'm being honest.
We'll have to put you on a no-fly list to the state.
If it's any consolation, I spent 3 years of my life in America and I loved every single second of it. And but I'm just very, very I was brought up on soccer in the UK, and that's been my passion and my focus since I can first remember, to be honest with you. So, but I'm sure, you know, 70% of the listeners of this podcast are Americans, as you'll find out from the analytics of the podcast. So I'm sure the listeners do know who you are talking about. So what we're saying is you got great experience and you are more than prepared and qualified to become the host of the Pilgrims Podcast.
Absolutely. Now, I won't be utilizing our very state-of-the-art studios that I had during my time as a professional broadcaster, but we are gathering the equipment now. I have a very nice microphone that's on the way. I am reacquiring Adobe Audition as we speak, so hopefully there won't be too much of a drop off from a world-class entertainer such as yourself.
Well, not anymore. I'm not a world-class entertainer anymore, because no one can entertain anywhere. Everywhere's closed, so my business, my professional activity has been ceased, which is one of the reasons why I have to, for now at least, step aside and focus on getting my life back on track, really. But this is part of, you know, we have challenges on the road to Santiago and we make ourselves stronger by overcoming them. So that's what's going on right now.
It is funny that you brought it back to the Camino there. We all have our phases or periods during the Camino where it feels like every step is absolute torture at times. I had a fever for 3 days from Ponferrada to Trecastella. And those 3 days were just brutal. But I feel, looking back, you realize, wow, I got through it. I was able to push onward. And much like the Camino, I'm sure this difficult time during this pandemic, you'll be able to look back and you'll say to yourself, if I can make it through the pandemic, I can make it through just fine.
Absolutely. And it maybe sounds a little bit cheesy and cliche, but, you know, the darkest hour is before dawn. And I've always remembered that for hard times. And, you know, for, you know, relating it to the Camino, you were so close to the end there. You're so close to the end. And you got a fever for 3 days. You probably had a few doubts going through your head, you know, can you still make it to Santiago? I know I had that moment on the first day when I got up into the Pyrenees from Saint-Jean-Pierre-de-Port, you know, right in between Roncesvalles and Saint-Jean-Pierre-de-Port. I was feeling cold. My fingers had gone numb. My knees were hurting. And I just thought, why am I doing this? I don't even have to do this. And I've chosen to do this. And, you know, self-pity took over for a little bit. And then you just feel that second win. So whether you're on the Camino, whether you're fighting the pandemic, it's about finding that second and third win and not giving up when, you know, you're so close to overcoming adversity and whatever's in front of us. But yeah, that's the reason why I am really, really chuffed, excited to hand over to you. Because I am going to have to focus my energies. And I thought to myself, it would be such a shame. It would be such a shame to just leave this. Though I don't want to just leave this. I want to, it's been my baby. It's been a, you know, a passion project. And I felt, you know, I need to put it out there and see if anyone would like to take it on. And who knows, maybe once my life has stabilized a little bit, then, you know, there could be some co-hosting or share hosting or whatever. But for now, I'm really happy that you've put your hand up and said you'd like to do it. And from your broadcast history and your experience as a pilgrim, like I say, I think you're going to be a great host. And also your effervescent personality, you know, I just love the way you're just larger than life. And I think that is exactly what the kind of personality that you encounter on the Camino. It's someone like you, who's a bit larger than life, a bit outside the box, you know, does things a bit differently and just oozes personality. And I think that is you.
Well, I am. It's an incredible honor to hear that from you. I'm so thankful that you
apart from your singing,
passing
but, you know.
Torch. Oh, yeah, apart from the singing.
Which we want more of at the end. Before we say goodbye, I'm only going to hand over this podcast to you, Andrew, if you do sing another song at the end. Otherwise, the deal's off, I'm afraid.
Well, isn't that part of the whole pilgrim experience, the pilgrim song? I mean, are you truly a pilgrim if you don't let it fly, if you don't belt out a song from your homeland, whether it's Bella Ciao if you're an Italian, or for me, a lot of times it was a lot of country western music. I shamelessly sang George Strait on the Camino sometimes, and not gonna lie, the Italians kind of dug it.
They got into it, right?
Oh yeah, you give them a little two-stepping lesson while you're at it. There's no shame, but I absolutely feel that it's part of the.
So you actually taught Italians line dancing on the Camino.
Okay, so there's a big difference between line dancing and two-step.
Okay, I apologize. I'm out of my depth here again, aren't I?
Me and Fiametta from Napoli. What was the town right past Lyon that we stayed on? We actually, in our albergue, in a little courtyard, on my phone, I played Neon Moon by Brooks and Dunn. And that was absolutely what I gave her a two-stepping lesson to.
And it's not line dancing. So I've taken that. I've learned that. Correct. From that moment. It's not line dancing. It's two-stepping. I don't know what two-stepping is, but anyway.
It's all right. There's the famous John Travolta movie, Urban Cowboy. That'll give you an idea.
Thank you very much. I can't wait. It'd be sad. Since we're in lockdown here in the UK again, I'll spend the weekend with my wife learning that. And she's a dancer anyway, so she probably knows it. But
fantastic.
What do I know? What's the only dance I know? I think the Macarena is the only dance I know. Out of my depth.
Is that really a dance? Oh boy. Okay. Yeah. Maybe she's sick of singing.
Well, I would like to, but that one's that ship has sunk for now, mate. Unfortunately, so. Yeah, and like I said already in the interview in our chat, that's why I'm going to have to hand over the keys to the Pilgrims podcast mobile to yourself for a while. So, why I have to stand down really is just that, you know, when I first started the podcast, where was I? I was on the Camino Portuguese and I was walking along and I was thinking about podcasting, and I was already running a podcast at that time, and it was an entertainment podcast, and I was interviewing fellow entertainers, And it dawned on me that I don't really, this is going to sound terrible, but I don't really feel like I have much in common with many of my, the people that I was working with, or in my, in the industry I have been in until it being closed down recently. That I didn't really have, it's very egocentric, you know, people that I was working with. And I thought, you know what, this isn't really me. I'm not a part, I don't, you know, I just don't take myself seriously. I don't really, I want to create something for people who I identify with more. So who do I identify with more? And it was Pilgrims. I thought, wow, I really like Pilgrims. So I thought, well, why not start a Pilgrims podcast? And I know Dan Mullins had his, which is My Camino. And I thought, well, he talks about, which is great, lots of different things associated with the Camino. It's like a Pilgrim magazine. You know, he interviews the authors, he interviews cooks and all kinds of personalities attached to the Camino, blog writers. But I thought, if I zero in on the planning and the practicalities, which I see so many questions on, then that could be my unique approach. So I sat on it for a little while, probably 18 months or so. And then after I'd finished writing my book, I thought, right, now's the time to do it. Now I've finished that project, I'll start another project. So I finished my book and just got on Fiverr and found someone to make a logo for me. And I knew how to use all the equipment because I already had a podcast and I had all the equipment as well because I use it for my job, basically. Used it for my job as a, you know, full-time singer and entertainer in tourist resorts in the Canarias, in Islas Canarias, and that was it. And off we went. And 19 months later, my stable income and my stable job isn't there anymore. So I had to have a chat with myself over Christmas and say, if I don't act now, where I haven't had a proper wage for 10 months, in 6 months I could be in a difficult situation. So I thought, well, I have to do it now, and I have, something's going to have to give. And sadly, I thought, right, the time I'm spending with the podcast, I can be researching a new career, or I could be even training for a new career and potentially taking on some work that's actually paying. So that's what I'm sadly going to do. And though my book makes a little bit of money, it doesn't make it enough to live off. So busy writing another one right now. But yeah, so this is why the transfer of power is to you.
You completely answered my next question of how you made this transition, or how you begun the podcast over 19 months ago, you said. Let me ask you this. You ask everybody all the time, what led you to the Camino? What led you?
Well, quite simply, the seeds were laid two years prior to this this event that happened, this very, shall we say, freak encounter on the London Underground. I was on a train and I realized I'd got onto the wrong train. So I thought, that's weird. I've done this journey probably hundreds of times. And that's really weird. I better get off at the next stop. So I got off at the next stop and I heard someone shouting to me. And I thought, you know, who the bloody hell was that, kind of thing. So I swung around and it was an old friend of mine, and he'd been looking for me. And this guy, he's like, he's old school. He won't go online. He won't have social media. And I still don't have him as a mobile phone contact. And he said, I've been looking for you. I was looking for your email. I wanted to tell you about the Camino. And he just, you know, it was just such a freak encounter, such a strange coincidence. So anyway, we got on another train. We went to this place in London called Camden. We caught up. We had a few beers in the sun, and he told me all about the Camino. And, you know, we reminisced over old times. And just going back home on the riot train that night, I thought to myself, you know what? And if you've read books like The Pilgrimage, and you've read books like The Alchemist, and you subscribe to this idea that life does send you signs. Life does, the universe tells you stuff. It's up to you to believe it or not to believe it. But I don't know if believe is the right word. I think feel it. Do you feel it? Is it in your gut? Does it speak to you? What does your instinct tell you? My instinct told me I need to walk the Camino. And about 4 months later, the time kind of came. So I did. and I went, and it was the best decision I've ever made in my life.
It is incredible how the Camino calls to you, even if you're not familiar with the voice. I feel that, first off, let me say, I don't want to discount any of the pilgrims who may have been introduced to the Camino by the way, or through, I don't know, a backpacking site, or any other mainstream, way that the Camino appeared to you. But like you, it took this almost serendipitous encounter with an old mate of yours. For me, it came to me in a dream, and I hadn't thought about the Camino in maybe 5 years. And it's just incredible how it just calls to you in the strangest of places sometimes. And it usually takes something remarkable to give you the courage to, or to create some sort of a catalyst to say, you know what? I'm going to buy the ticket. I'm going to commit to this. I'm going to quit my job. I want to change my career just so I can go walk the Camino.
I couldn't agree more. And I think that for me personally, and I guess as the pilgrim tribe, I'm probably preaching to the converted here. But I do believe that it's about staying open and on the same vibration and the same level as these signs that come to us. You might not know it, but they might be hitting you from all angles. You're just not receptive to it. You're just not switched on. You're not on the same frequency. So I think it's about us pilgrims. We tend to be on that frequency. I'm not saying it's a better or worse, but it's a different frequency. You know, I think we're tuned in. We try and tune ourselves in to that higher vibration. And I felt like bumping into that mate was that higher vibration. And you hear many stories about people being called to the Camino. So if you are listening, look out for those signs. Look out for those signals. They're probably there, and you might not be aware of it, but try and open yourself up to it. That's what I think.
It's incredible you brought up the Paulo Coelho books, who himself is a pilgrim. His first book, The Pilgrimage, about walking the Caminos de Santiago, I believe back in the 80s.
Yeah, I think it was. Yeah, I think it was. Before it was even like so popular or whatever. I mean, he was part of a cult, wasn't he? That was, he was performing lots of rituals along the way and I can't remember hugging trees and all that kind of stuff. So I didn't do any tree hugging, but I had a great time. And he got ravaged by some dogs as well. Luckily, I didn't get ravaged by dogs. And I think the wild dog thing on the Camino is less of a problem. But, you know, obviously, you've always got to be aware of these things. You're probably best off, you know, taking a wide berth if you see a wild dog and stuff like that. But, yeah, so, that's why I started it. That's why I've had to move on. I do have some things in the pipelines that I'm going to do. So, I'll obviously get in contact with you and let you know what's going on. And if you ever want to do a co-host one day, then I think that might be fun. But for now it's over to you, Mr. Baker.
It's going to be a fun adventure. We've talked before while we were negotiating this idea or discussing this idea of passing the torch. And one thing that's really important to me is I want to maintain some sort of continuity. I still want the listeners who tune in to maybe help prepare themselves, whether mentally, emotionally, or just with your equipment for the Camino. I really want to maintain that. But one thing I think I would like to add is, you know, we're living in a different world. The Camino is going to be different. Some of the albergues may never open again. So I really want to kind of discuss that aspect of the future of how it's changed, what's new, what's going to be a challenge for a pilgrim that maybe walked it 10 years ago, walking it now.
Yeah, I mean, a perfect example of that is we had a guest back in March last year, and Susie Stevenson from Casa Susie. And they've had no guests this year, no guests, zero pilgrims this year. And they've got a 30 grand problem with their roof, 30,000 euros. They need to fix their roof. And obviously that they've someone's helped them and done a GoFundMe campaign for Casa Susi. So if anyone is able to help with Casa Susi, as one example of probably hundreds, if not thousands, of albergs along the way, and me having to move on from hosting the podcast is another example of how, you know, this change has affected everything associated with the Camino. I mean, it's not a sob story. There's not a moment for self-pity, but I've rode the storm of not getting a wage for 10 months. I was like, this isn't a storm I can ride for much longer. And I was going to say something, and it probably wasn't important anyway, but I'm trying to remember what it was. If it'll come back to me, and I couldn't agree more. It would be a great thing to do, and maybe highlight some of the issues and challenges that people on the Camino are experiencing. We interviewed Umberto Di Venosa, who's the Italian owner of, French owner, excuse me, with an Italian name, of Follow the Camino. And he said they have 97% less business this year. I mean, how can people survive this?
97.
How can people survive this? I mean, it's a massive challenge to us all. And, in some ways, like I said, there's no time for self-pity. It's just time for action. So I'm glad that you're taking on the action of running the podcast. And in some ways, I don't want to get too, you know, this podcast isn't the scope for talking about such negative things or complicated things as coronavirus. I don't believe in any conspiracy theories or anything like that, but in some strange ways, and this what I'm about to say does link to the Camino, it really does link to Camino, I believe this is Mother Nature giving the human race a slap on the bum. I really, really do. I think it's Mother Nature saying, right, okay, well, you guys haven't been playing ball, you're treating the planet badly, you're not living harmoniously, and things are out of balance. So in some strange way, I think, you know, Mother Nature is just redress, putting the balance. She's rebalancing the earth somehow. And we're having to learn a harsh lesson. So, and to me, that's related to the Camino, because when we go on the Camino, we put our lives back into balance. So I think if anyone, any tribe of people is equipped to deal with this, I do think it's pilgrims. And those trials and tribulations we get on the way to Santiago, they help us sharpen our life skills. We become more resilient. And thankfully, that resilience that I've learned on the Camino, that when everything seems so bad, it's probably not. It's just about putting one step in front of the other, you know, and eventually you'll get there. And this is what we do in hard times, right? What's the next step to overcome this problem? And you take it, and eventually you'll get there. So the next step for me is to give you control of this podcast while I take a little detour, maybe a little, variante espiritual, like the Portuguese Camino, and leave you to talk about those things, like you said, about finding out how it's affecting people and the different challenges that people faced 10 years ago to today.
Again, you're handing me the keys of what I like to think is a Camino Ferrari. Hopefully, I don't like it.
It's more like, you know what it's more like? It's more like the Camino that My Name is Earl. Did you ever watch My Name is Earl?
Oh, absolutely.
It's more like his Camino that I'm giving you.
Oh, okay. His the proper El Camino.
So I'd like you to take it on and fix it up into a Ferrari.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Happy to take stewardship. And again, to all the pilgrims and future pilgrims, or just those curious about the Camino de Santiago listening, I definitely would love to hear from you. One of the reasons I ended up getting tuned into here is I saw your post on Instagram looking for pilgrims to speak to.
Yes.
And the curse of the pilgrim is you can't really shut up about the Camino. It's something I've heard from my friends and family multiple times. Oh, here we go about the Camino again. But it really is a beautiful, magical thing. And I think you're only justified in wanting to share your experiences. So if you have a story, if you want to discuss your experience, please reach out. We'd love to discuss the Camino and how you prepared for it. I'm sure through social media outlets, I'll be reaching out to fellow pilgrims, and can't wait to hear from you.
Yeah, I'll give you the password to the Facebook page and everything, Andrew. And for those listening, if you'd like to be interviewed by Andrew, it's El Camino de Santiago Pilgrims Podcast. Send a PM to there, and Andrew will be able to point you in the right direction and let you know how to get a ball rolling. So, unless you've got any other questions you want to ask me, Andrew, this may be the official handover of power. Peacefully.
We definitely need a peaceful transfer of power here in the United States.
And this is a Brit handing something over to an American. So I'm not sure what we would give you that Americans would like from the UK. You don't really like our food, do you? Our warm beer.
Nothing wrong with fish and chips.
Fish and chips, greasy, oily fish and chips. Yep, you know that. Yeah. What's typical?
Texas, like everything fried.
What's typical from Texas, like a taco or something, or?
No. If you're gonna visit, you gotta have some barbecue, especially if you're in Central Texas.
Right. Okay. So you gotta get a Barbie. That was my attempt at a Texan accent there, which is probably offensive. I apologize for that.
A Barbie. We're not Australians.
That's a doll, isn't it? A Barbie. I don't know. Wow. This is probably best that I hand over quick while I'm not ahead, I think. It is over to you, Andrew. The official hand of Overpower, as I said, will take place with a song from your new host, Andrew Baker. Do you want to count? Do you want me to count you in? You want to just go in?
Oh, you're putting me on the spot again. All right, let's go.
Do you want a Beatles style count? Like a one, a two, a one, two, three, something like that? Or are you just going to go?
We're really doing this. Okay. All right, let's go with a little Garth Brooks. He's not from Texas. He's from Oklahoma, and we don't fault him for that.
Go for it. One, a two, right. A one, two, three, four.
Blame it all on my roots. I showed up in boots, ruined your black tie fair. There you go. That's all you're getting.
That is
little friends in low places.
That is beautiful. That reminds me of a time that I was in Kentucky and someone took me a place called the Silver Saddle.
Oh, and, Lord.
It actually had swinging doors as you walked in and everything. And I didn't have a clue what was going on. I just stood there and observed. And it was a fun time. So thanks for rekindling those memories. Andrew Baker, I hand over to you. And I want to wish you for taking on the hosting of the podcast in typical fashion. Buen camino!
Buen camino, pilgrim.